Oh Lord, open our eyes, open the heavens, open our hearts, open the scriptures, that we may behold wondrous things and we may become like you, Lord Jesus, especially in your weeping over a lost and dying world. This is our prayer, Lord. Do whatever it takes, Lord, for us to enter with you into communion in the agony of our King, our Lord Jesus. We pray this in your precious name, Jesus' precious name. Amen. Dear friends, can we spend one more day on this same subject? I felt very conscious that this experience is something we long for. I know I long for, but don't have. Our emotional health, at least my emotional health, I know is not there to feel like this, like Jesus, who was so intense in all his emotions. There was no twinge of self-pity. There was broken-hearted compassion that came right from his very bowels. There was anger, indignation. There was also ecstatic celebration. And in Luke 9, we already discussed from Luke 9:51, Jesus set his face like a flint to Jerusalem. And now in Luke 19, he is drawing near Jerusalem. And Luke gives us these words. In verse 28, when he had said this, he drew near to Jerusalem. And then again, verse 37, he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives. And verse 41, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. Luke 19 is a very important chapter, of course. It starts with Zacchaeus, where the religious leaders rejected the tax collector, welcomed the king. And the next parable is about the parable of the minas. And there in verse 14, his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. We don't want this king. This parable was taught to point out to the Jewish leaders and to the Jewish citizens that they were rejecting their own king. And then comes this triumphal entry, drawing near. And now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. And what Jesus spoke here happened about 40 years after Jesus spoke these words. Awesome. This is the word of the Lord. And here we find Jesus weeping, as we said yesterday. The word there means not just quiet weeping, but uncontrollable sobbing. Not for himself, not out of fear, but because he loved Jerusalem. He loved those stones of Jerusalem. He loved the people. His heart was there. In Luke 13:34, we read, which we also mentioned yesterday, how he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. This broke the heart of the Lord Jesus. Because he loved, as we said yesterday, he felt this deep emotion. He was weeping over the unrepentant hearts of his beloved holy city that he loved so much, the people there. friends, can we ask a question? When last did we uncontrollably weep over lost souls? Holy Spirit, do it for us, we pray. We are often indifferent. Our spiritual state is indifferent, and we want to be comfortable. We would prefer that rather than being disturbed. This indifference will save us from uncontrollable weeping, will enable us to have a comfortable, good Christian lives. But most of the time, it will be like a religious treadmill going nowhere. Brothers and sisters in healthcare, if we seek a risk-free, trouble-free, pain-free life, forget about following Jesus on the Calvary Road. We cannot fulfill his vision and save ourselves. Dear friends, to care nothing for those who are going to hell and Christless eternity is actually following the way of the world. But our model is Jesus. We want to be Christ-like in every way. We want the mind of Christ. And as this pastor mentioned, he said to be Christ-like is to have tears, nails, crowns, and may I add mockery, pain, a healthy, robust emotional life, wailing over other people, having intense pain over others. This is what Jesus felt. And in verse 41, he's now cresting over the Mount of Olives and he can see Jerusalem. And if we went there, we would see the temple, the glorious temple that was built there. Actually, that was the temple that Zerubbabel built, but Herod had made it into a magnificent spectacle. And we would have said, what wonderful structures. But Jesus did not see the grand temple. He saw the shallowness, the hypocrisy, false religion, religionless religion, unbiblical religion, thoughtless religion, hypocritical religion, false religion. Jerusalem was supposed to be, as Psalm 48 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation is Mount Zion, the city of our God, the joy of all the earth. God is in her palaces. But now it was an empty shell. And even today, the church is in a similar state, superficial. I include myself. Our conversions are very shallow. The gospel is preached in terms of human beings and our perspective. Very rarely do you find people coming, trembling under the holy law of God, weeping and saying, Lord, I'm going to hell. Save me. When Jonathan Edwards preached his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, people clung to the pillars and cried out for mercy. Leonard Ravenhill is supposed to have said, the church has more fashion than passion, more pathetic than prophetic, more superficial than supernatural. No supernatural strength to be able to pray for others, to plead for others. And when Jesus cried out for Jerusalem in this portion which I read yesterday and mentioned that it was you 15 times, there were three reasons for his tears over Jerusalem. Number one, you who had the law and the prophets, you who had all the blessings. The Gentiles are accepting. Zacchaeus accepted a tax collector. But you did not know what would bring you peace. Friends, the only Jesus did not come to establish religion, or to deal with global warming, or to make a vaccine for coronavirus, or to prepare various other things that we look at today. They are important. They are no doubt making us live comfortable lives, but they are not central. He came to bring peace with God through his death on the cross. And that is what Jerusalem had missed, and it broke his heart. Secondly, he said, the days will come when you are going to be attacked, when your enemies will build embankments around you and level you to the very ground. He saw the judgment that was to come, and it broke his heart. It was almost too late for the majority of Jerusalem. That happened in AD 70. And thirdly, he said, you did not recognize the time of your visitation. God had come to them and done so many miracles, the final one raising Lazarus from the dead, and yet they did not recognize it. Dear friends, let us ask God to give us this uncontrollable, deep, God-given tears and prayer and love for those who need Him in the health fields. We need to pray for this. And there's a wonderful prayer that we'd like to end with, a hymn. Let me read it. Stir me, O stir me, Lord, I care not how, but stir my heart in passion for the world. Stir me to give, to go, but most to pray. Stir till the blood-red banner be unfurled over lands that still in heathen darkness lie, over deserts where no cross is lifted high. Stir me, O stir me, Lord, till all my heart is filled with strong compassion for these souls, till thy compelling word drives me to pray, till thy constraining love reach to the poles, far north and south in burning deep desire, till east and west are caught in love's great fire. Stir me, O stir me, Lord, till prayer is pain, till prayer is joy, till prayer turns into praise. Stir me till heart and will and mind, yea, all is wholly thine to use through all the day. Stir till I learn to pray exceedingly. Stir till I learn to wait expectantly. Stir me, O stir me, Lord, thy heart was stirred by love's intensest fire till thou didst give thine only son, thy best beloved one, even to the dreadful cross that I might live. Stir me to give myself so back to thee that thou canst give thyself again through me. Stir me, O stir me, Lord, for I can see thy glorious triumph day begin to break. The dawn already gives the eastern sky. O Church of Christ, awake, awake. O stir us, Lord, as heralds of that day, for night is spent, our King is on our way. Amen.